Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
The brothers of Joseph all bowed before him. Eventually, one day, we will all bow before Jesus, our Joseph. Joseph's brothers did not recognize him, and Jesus' brothers did not recognize him as God's son. Joseph offered his brothers the gift of forgiveness after they had transgressed him. Jesus offers us the gift of forgiveness after we transgress him. We had begun in Genesis 37, and I read that verse, this in account of a time when Joseph was with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, and here is what it says. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Zilpah and Bilhah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought to his father their evil report. Now, I want to tell you something. He did not make up an evil report. He brought back to the father their words, what they had said. He was reporting what they had said, not what they were actually doing, what he had said. So I find this interesting. I also find that this was one encounter prior to the time when Joseph was sent to look for his brothers in Shechem. And interestingly enough, where they were supposed to be, they were not. They were in Dothan, which is known as a party city. Just let you know a little bit of trivia here tonight that Dothan was a party city. So, of course, you're not going to stay in Shechem out in the field. We're going to go into Dothan. We're going to go into town. And, you know, when you're not where you're supposed to be, you are where you're not supposed to be, and you are going to get in trouble. Remember, Abraham went to Egypt, and God did not authorize that trip. So the brothers didn't like that at all, that he had told Daddy what they had said. And here's something, a little bit of my thoughts on this. We see that Joseph brought back his father their evil report. We do not read that Jacob corrected his sons in any way, whatever the situation. Joseph told them the two dreams. And a lot of scholars and commentators will tell you that he should not have told the dreams, but I disagree with that. After much, much study, I believe that it was God ordained and divine providence that Joseph should tell those two dreams to his brothers and also to his father. The reason being, had he not shared those two dreams when they did indeed come to pass, because they were dreams from God and of God, when they came to pass, the brothers would never have believed that if they had not heard the dreams, that this was God and that God had truly raised up Joseph and that it was God who indeed was now going to save them by providing them food and becoming the Lord my provider. I want to talk to you about the brothers and their relationship with Joseph and Jacob. We know that Israel, I'm going to read verse 3. It says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age." Now the word there isn't the word like he didn't love the others. It's that he favored Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, which is, by the way, a bit understandable. We are all human and we all have emotions, right? And so he made him a coat of many colors. Tony Pizzina and I were talking about this briefly yesterday, and some of us on stage, about how things are different with our children, that when we have in with grandchildren and children. When I had children, I couldn't afford to take them to McCormick and Schmick's. I could not afford to take them to Benihana's. There were so many things. Me and Lesbia took them to McDonald's, and they seemed grateful at the time. Until you have grandchildren, and all of a sudden you're doing wonderful things above and beyond for them, and suddenly your children feel like McDonald's was not good enough. Who are you now? I've had my kids say to me, you know, why all of a sudden you take the grandkids? Why all of a sudden we couldn't couldn't do nothing. And now you're saying, yes, yes, of course we can go shopping, Grace. How much do you need? $300? Four maybe? You know, why don't we just settle on five? You know what I'm saying? And that's extreme, but I'm just telling you, you know, but like Tony said, we weren't in a financial position to do that then. But we had the same amount of love. And so here he has this child in his old age, and of course he's doing a little special thing for them. And instead of the brothers also loving the baby, they don't like it. They don't like it. This kid's almost like a grandkid to him. And so they're not mad at the father. They decide they don't like Joseph, okay? You can't attack your dad, but in fact, this is not just dislike. The Bible calls it what it is. It's hate. It's a strong hate, a dangerous hate, in fact, is the correct translation. So in verse 4 here, we read, "And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. They could not speak peaceably to him." Now, that's the first reference of they hated him, but I'm going to show you how bad it gets in a few minutes, okay? So they didn't just dislike him, they hated him. And so verse 5 says, "And then Joseph..." Verse 1, they hate. He's got the colored coat, and he's the son of old age. They hate him. Verse 5 then continues immediately in a row. It says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more." Do you see that the hate is progressing? In verse 4, he just hated him. Now they hate him more all of a sudden. Okay, verse 5, we hate him more now. But it gets even stronger than that. It's because it is progressive. And I used to think that you either hate someone or you love them or you don't, but there's degrees of that. I used to think that hate is hate, but it's not. You can actually hate somebody and decide, like the first verse says, I just won't talk to them. The Bible says he couldn't speak peacefully. So you hate him and you're not going to talk to him. But wait a minute. Hate is progressive. You can hate someone and not just dislike them. You can hate someone and want to kill them. So there's a difference in, I hate you, I'm not going to speak to you, Frida, and I hate you, and I may murder you. There's a big difference. That's progressive hate. And I had never noticed this before, so we see two times, but it gets better. You get on to verse 8, and it says, "And his brother said to him, are you indeed going to reign over us?" Sarcasm there, insert. "Or shall you indeed have dominion, authority over us?" And the Bible says, "And now they hated him the more and more." So now we have three times that the Bible is pointing to us in a row consecutively. I hate you, I hate you more, I hate you yet all the more. So we know, we get it, God, they hated him. And so this is all leading up to a time when they would have a clear opportunity to do Joseph harm and to even kill him if they decided to do so. And I'm going to tell you there will be a little bit of humor tonight. I make no apology. I will not apologize for that. I want to say this. Their hatred of Joseph was completely unjustified. Have you ever been hated and it wasn't justified at all? Okay, somebody hates you because you got a beautiful coat hanging. Millie's got a beautiful coat hanging out in the vestibule. I hate her. I just hate her. I just hate her, you know. Okay, you know, Frida's daddy loved her. I just hate her. I just hate her. I'd want to kill her. It's unjustified. It's unreasonable. But that's how jealousy is. It's as cruel as the grave, and hate is unreasonable. We're not supposed to hate people. We're not supposed to be jealous of people. And here, I'm going to talk to you about that in just a few minutes. Joseph doesn't have control over his dreams, does he? If I tell you I had a dream, it's a dream. I didn't say, I'm going to do this. I said, I had a dream. He doesn't have control over his dreams. And if you don't believe that his dreams are all that, then why do they bother you? Why does it trouble you so? But I'm going to show you something. Secondly, their hatred was unjustified because they hated him because the father favored him and made him a coat. It's not my fault who likes me. It's not my fault. Victor gave me a gift from England yesterday in church, and some people were standing around. You know, you got a gift from Victor. No one hated me for it. No one that I know of. But they didn't. Nobody. It was some money. It was some money from England. You know, the Queen died. I follow the Queen, and now the money's going to be King Charles. So I got some Queen Elizabeth money. So, but you can't hate people for things like that. It's out of my control. I never asked Victor to give me a gift. But we all have to be happy for one another. Let's take it further. About Ken has a gift of playing the piano. I'm his sister. I hate you. I just hate that you can play the piano like that. I mean, who do you think you are? I mean, We can't do that. You know what I'm supposed to say? Hey guys, that's my brother. Number one piano player in the United States. That's my brother. I should be proud. I should be blessed by that. And if I ever need a piano player, I'm going to use him or Dan. Come on now. But that's not the brothers. That's when you have hate in your heart. These were evil brothers. So hate was unjustified. And these brothers are very sinful and evil. But I want to tell you something. Just because they're who they are, they're still the father's sons. When I was disobedient, my father never said, "You're not my kid anymore." He said, "You're disobedient." The father still loves us, and thank God, because he sent Jesus to die. So the father sends Joseph to the brothers, and remember, they were going to kill him. We talked about this last week, but they decided instead of killing him, a better idea, Judah's idea, was to sell him, make a little money off him, and then they sat down and had the picnic. We talked about the picnic. Now, when I get to heaven, I know they're going to be there because they had a change of heart at the end, and so I'm going to ask them, what did you have at the picnic? I'm going to ask them because I think I know. You don't think I know, do you? They killed a kid to dip his coat in blood. They had barbecued goat ribs. That's what they had because they killed this animal and they used the blood. I mean, this is a win-win. Not only do we kill and we get to eat and have this great picnic, then we just use the blood to dip his coat in and give it to dear old dad. And so verse 18 says, and when they saw him, Joseph heading their way, even before he got close to them, they conspired, they plotted, they planned against him to kill him. Now, they didn't do it in front of him. They, at that point, later, they're going to be very bold. But they saw him heading their way. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible says they, in three different places, they saw him in a distance. How did they recognize, how did they know it was Joseph? Anybody got the answer? The coat of many colors was heading their way. I mean, there's probably all these nomads walking in the desert with these old brown coats, ugly coats. You know, we all got the ugly coat. But here comes the dreamer, and he's got the coat on. And I can prove it, by the way, because the Bible says he had the coat on, which I thought was so cool. So they see him in the distance, and that just grates on them. He was wearing the beautiful coat that Daddy had made him. And before we talk about the coat, I want to tell you that I love this next verse because of what they testified about Joseph. The next thing out of their mouth is they said to one another, hey, look, behold, here comes that dreamer. Here comes that dreamer. Now, these dreams really trouble them. Can you see that? Are we seeing this? The dreams are disturbing them. Why do the dreams disturb them? Maybe they didn't have dreams of their own. You know, if you haven't had dreams and you don't know what God wants you to do and what you're, ask God, say, give me dreams and visions. And I think it's possible that they knew already that Joseph was a dreamer and that these dreams spoke to their spirit. And they also knew that Joseph could not have made up these dreams. He's 17 years old or would not. They just made sense. And the truth was this. The truth was it wasn't Joseph. It was the enemy that hated the dreams that Joseph had. I know this for sure, and that's why they were angry. Hell hated the dreams, and hell hates the dreams that God has given you to do. And especially when you begin to speak forth your dream, this is what God has planned, this is what God spoke to me. You just watch people get angry at you and say, God told you you're going to do what? God told you you're going to speak, you're going to write, you're going to be a blessing. And that's them. So they cast him in a pit where there was no water, no ribs, no water, and no bread in the pit. And then, thanks to Judah, they decided to sell him. And I want to talk a little bit tonight. Remember how Joseph was a type and shadow of Christ, and we read that Reuben wanted to save Joseph, but didn't have the courage to do so, and Pilate wanted to save Jesus and didn't have the courage to do so. I want to say that Reuben really dropped the ball here, first of all. And here's why. Do you realize that Reuben could have been a hero? He was the firstborn. He could have stood up. He could have said, I am large, and I am in charge, and I represent our dad, and enough is enough. We're crossing a line here to even talk about killing him. But he feared man and not God. He didn't fear the Father. He did not fear God. And this is a huge lesson for all of us. Reuben's life is a lesson, I promise you, to all of us. When it gets time to stand up, to speak up for righteousness' sake, you do not hesitate, not even 1 minute. When it gets time to confront a situation, you do not hesitate if you're working in righteousness. So here's what happened. Reuben would not stand up. The brothers wanted to kill and throw him in some pit. They found the pit. And, you know, here's what I tell myself. Joseph was 17 years old. You guys are so much older. You should have known better. What threat is he to you? The truth is, he wasn't a threat. But the dreams were a threat. The plan of God was a threat to the kingdom of darkness. He was not a personal threat to them. They could have taken him down in a second, but they perceived him to be a threat. Genesis 37:20. Come now, therefore, and let's kill him and cast him in some pit, and we will say that some evil beast has devoured him. I know who the evil beast are. And we shall see, watch this, what becomes of his dreams. Not what becomes of him. We're going to put him in a pit, and we don't care what happens to him, but you just watch and see what will become of his dreams. It's the dreams that's the key in this. It's the plan of God for your life that the enemy is against. And so he was against the plan of God for his life. So let me just say this, make this declaration. No devil, no demon of hell, no hater or haters or fake friends or family that hate you can stop the plans that God has set forth for you. For they are divine plans. They are created out of heaven, and God has you on a divine assignment. And if God, and he does, have you on a divine assignment like we talked about yesterday, special assignment, you will be protected by God until you have fulfilled your assignment. And you will know, as I said yesterday, that you have fulfilled your assignment. The day you walk through the pearly gates, you're done. You finished your assignment. And not until then, by the way. If you are breathing tonight and you are under the sound of my voice, you are here on assignment, and God is not finished with you yet. So in comes Reuben. We see Reuben. And Reuben says to the brothers, this to me is interesting. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand on him, that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver him to his father again. His plan is, I will get him later and be the hero. Right now, he's not got any courage in front of the brothers. He's like, just don't kill him. And Reuben has a plan to go back, get him out of the pit later, and he's going to be the hero later. But here's the thing. Reuben is a coward. Here's why. He knows right from wrong. I cannot give him a pass at all. I could say, well, man, guys, Reuben has a good heart. He does not. If a man knows in his heart what to do and he doesn't do it, it's sinful and it's wrong. He is just as terrible as they are. You knew better, Reuben. You were the oldest. You should have been stepped up your game. You should have been a leader. Don't pretend you're some saint, Reuben, and you're going to go back and do what you did later he should have done it in the first place. Sarah Jake says it all the time. If you know better, do better. So when the brothers got a hold of Joseph, they took his coat, they stripped it off of him, just like Jesus' coat was stripped off of him. And the Bible is specific in saying they took off the coat of many colors. That's how I know that he had that colored coat when he was heading their way, so he would stand out a far way off. And I want to tell you that the mantle that you carry, you stand off, and people do. They see you come and they feel it. The presence of God is on your life, the mantle of God. But it's very, very interesting because here comes the Ishmaelites, you know, and they're gonna sell this dreamer kid. And verse 27, we see what Reuben says. He's not courageous, but now Judah gets an opportunity to speak up, and he's gonna kind of echo what Reuben says, that we should not kill Joseph. They're just not into the killing, you know, except for, you know, things that should be killed, like the goat. So here's what Judah says, Saint Judah. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be on him, for he's our brother. Oh, he's our brother. He's our flesh. And so his brothers were content. Are you kidding, Judah? Are you kidding me? All of a sudden, he's your brother? Let's not kill him, but we can sell him. Let's compromise here. We can sell him. If you felt that he was your brother and your flesh, then why are you selling him? were we told by the father to sell him? No. Really, Judah? I'm just not impressed with any of these brothers, starting with Reuben and Judah. Not impressed at all. And I want to tell you something about Judah. Judah's wild ways get him in trouble eventually because Judah also sleeps with his daughter-in-law, believing her to be a prostitute, and shames her to other people. She gets pregnant. But watch this. I'm going to talk to you about a change of heart in Judah just for a few minutes. She gets pregnant, and when he's confronted, he gets convicted, and he confesses. Let's look at it. 38:26. And Judah acknowledged them and said, the articles that Tamar had, she is more righteous than I am, because that I gave her not Shelah my son. He was supposed to do that. And he knew her again no more. He didn't sleep with her anymore. He recognized her as a daughter-in-law. I want to tell you something about Judah. People do change. The brothers do change because of the Joseph. And Joseph represents Christ. We change because of our Joseph. We change not because it's because of him. It's not because of us. We're human. We're subject to fail. But eventually Judah changes. I want to make a statement to you. And this is what I, when I read this the one time, I thought, wow, what? Who is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah? When I read the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, I thought, the Lion of the Tribe of who? Let's sell our brother, Judah? The Lion of the, Jesus is the Lion of the Tribe of, let's sell our brother and not kill him. Yes. And I'm going to prove to you in some verses here that Judah had an extreme change of heart. So later, when the brothers finally meet up Joseph, we're skipping ahead a little bit tonight. I want to talk about Judah. Later, when the brothers finally met up with Joseph, he did not reveal himself to them at first. They believe he doesn't even understand their language because they believe that he's an Egyptian, they're Hebrew, so they talk openly in front of him. And Joseph, wanting to prove them honorable or not, tested them and said, in one situation, he said, let one of you be bound. We're going to talk about this in later weeks. Let one of you be bound and the rest go and get the youngest brother, which is Joseph's brother, Benjamin. And Reuben starts telling the brothers, thinking Joseph, you know, that now his blood will be required. Reuben believing Joseph is dead. Yet Joseph is standing right in front of them. So they keep Simeon. All of them go home and yada, yada. And Jacob does, Joseph wants Benjamin. And Judah is appealing to his father. And he's, you can see that there's such a change of heart. And I have some thoughts on that. And Judah is telling him, he said, you know what? I'm willing, Dad. You're going to have to give us Benjamin. We got to take him. We got to take him to the man. The man wants him, and he won't give us anything. He won't even see us. He won't even give us an audience unless we have Benjamin. So we can't obey you unless we get the brother. So Judah steps in, and he says, now watch this. He steps in, keep in your head, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, which is Jesus Christ. Judah steps up, and he says, take me, my life for his. Take me. If anything happens to him, then it's my life and my family. Can you see what Jesus does for us, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah? Take me, take me. But we see a clear change in Judah. This is not the same Judah as before. Now, here's the thing. You know, their anger and their jealousy, we're all human, got the best of them. And when they got home after they took the bloody coat to their father, and their father, do you recognize this coat, Dad? Do you recognize it? Who in the world wouldn't recognize it? He hand-sewed that coat. It said the father made it. And do you recognize this coat, Dad? And it's got this blood. And he believes it to be Joseph's blood. And he's grieved. Never was he the same again. And so here's this coat dipped in blood. And here's what I believe. It's one thing to get crazy and to get hateful and to get ugly. It's another thing to have to face the pain that you've inflicted on someone else. The harsh, what you have done to them. It's one thing to do it in a heated, let me tell you, the satisfaction of hurting others is temporary. It is very temporary and very short-lived. Let me tell you, it comes back to haunt you. And if you don't believe me, get my book, The Wounded and the Wounder, and you can read the story, and I'll paraphrase it, that I wrote in there that Pastor Ken told me about him killing the little bird in 1970. Rest in peace, little bird. You can read the story I told about how he shot the little bird with his BB gun. Yes, he did. Murderer, murderer, murderer. Shot the little bird, and then Ken tells it to me, Pastor Ken. He said, I walked over to that little bird that I shot. You know, at first you think, I killed it. Then you walk over there, and the little bird's just shaking, and he's writhing in pain. And you're face to face with, what do I do with little bird writhing in pain? I can't save him. I'm the one who shot him. And it's different, isn't it? When we stretch out our hand to hurt somebody and think, I got him. I got him. Watch this. Can I tell you what I said to him? I told him this and I said that. And oh, man, you should have been there. And then that person's just sobbing, crying. And you're like, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? I hurt somebody. I crushed their. I believe that's what happened to the brothers. You know, God works on us. God can speak to us. And I believe that they watched their father grieve. They had to watch their father just sob and sob and sob. And they knew. And you know what really troubles me? Sometimes you do things and you get to the place where you're like, what do I do? I know the truth. You know, I've read stories and I'm not going to belabor this tonight. I've got a couple more things. But I've read stories about people who, I read one about an attorney whose client had told him that he was the real killer or whatever the situation. And that attorney, you know, felt like he could never stand up. And years later, he stood up and told the story because he just couldn't live with it. I mean, these guys, they knew the truth. Any one of them, come on, guys, could just say, Dad, we don't. But they didn't know what happened to him. They didn't know how to get a hold of Joseph. But they, you know what? They just had to pay. I believe they paid a heavy price because you do when you hurt someone else. And they never made it right, but that doesn't mean God wasn't working on them. And conviction, and don't you thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit when we do, and that we would never want to hurt somebody. I said in a couple services ago, you know, the medical profession takes the oath that we should all take. Do no harm. Do no harm. If you can't help them, don't help them, but don't hurt them. Don't hurt them. And you know, and I told you I was going to talk about Reuben too. We talked about Reuben for just briefly, but verse 29 says something interesting. And Reuben returned to his brothers and said, the child is not here. Remember, they were supposed to put the child in the pit. And then Reuben, Mr. Hero, was going to come later. And he said, and whither shall I go? Which translates, how am I going to account for this? How am I going to answer Dad for this? And Reuben returns to the brothers. Now, Joseph is gone. Here's my question to Reuben. Where have you been, Reuben? Reuben, all the guys are sitting here. Judah made this transaction to sell the brother. Where did you go, Reuben? Do you know the Bible is silent about Reuben just having left the situation? Where were you, Reuben? But you know what? Reuben was kind of he was in Dothan. You know, he's kind of he's the Dothan crowd. Where were you, Reuben? I know you liked women because I know you slept with your father's own wife. So where were you? Why were you not the authority? Why were you not doing this? But so at that point, they have Joseph's coat. They killed the kid of the goats. They dipped the coat in blood. And do you know how symbolic this was? Because here's what I want to tell you as our praise team gets ready. The son of the father, for all practical purposes, was dead. The minute he got that coat with the blood on it, that was just a coat, but the actual blood was on Jesus Christ. Think about this. He refused to be comforted. And to be comforted is a choice. He decided, I will not accept comfort. He thought his son was dead. God knew, but God knew when his son died, his son really was dead. Jesus was covered in blood. His coat was stripped from him, like Joseph. Joseph wasn't dead. The father would see him again. And it was Joseph who would provide for the wicked brothers. It was Joseph who would offer forgiveness to the wicked brothers. And through Joseph, there would be actual reconciliation. Joseph, whom they thought was dead, was alive. Do you know this is a type and shadow of the resurrection? This father thought his son was dead. His son was not. Jesus, whom we know, was crucified and died, was resurrected, and he is alive today. And I thank God that he gives us his word. And all through the Old Testament, we see the blood. From Genesis all the way through Revelation, there is blood on every page of God's word. There literally is. You see the blood, the redemption. This is, the Bible is a redemption story, a love letter written to you and I. And if you're wondering who we represent in the story, well, I would have been Joseph. I would have been Joseph, the brother. No, Joseph represents Jesus Christ. In the story, we're the brothers. We're the brothers who conspire. We're the brothers who sit and picnic while our brother's in a pit that we threw them in. We're the brothers who are jealous. We're the brothers, yeah, we're the brothers who don't like each other's dreams. Yeah, we're the brothers who are jealous of the Father's favor, the gifts and talents of others. But thank God for our Joseph, Jesus. I am so grateful for the blood that was shed. And in Revelation, it says his coat is dipped in blood, the blood of the Lamb that's on the mercy seat. I thank God.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.